Today is a big deal. Palm Sunday is a big deal. It's an important Sunday in the life of our church, where the children process down the aisle, waving their palm branches, leading us in praise. We pull out all the organ stops and sing "All Glory, Laud, and Honor" loud enough to rattle these rafters. Some have even called Palm Sunday a dress rehearsal for Easter triumphant. It's a big deal. You'll find the Jesus story, which informs Palm Sunday, in all four gospel accounts. So biblically speaking, that makes it a pretty big deal. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all consider this story so important that they each tell some version of it. That alone should make our ears perk up. Consider this, some of Jesus's most well-known parables, the Good Samaritan, the Prodigal Son, those stories show up only in one gospel account. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, those are told in only two gospel narratives. The Lord's Prayer, the prayer we recite every week in worship, that only made the cut in two gospel narratives. In fact, even the Christmas story is left out of two gospel accounts. But every gospel writer tells of Palm Sunday, about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem before his death and resurrection. Churches all over the world today will reenact the story of spreading cloaks upon the road. They will tell the story of waving palms and laying those palms down upon the road for the colt to walk upon, as Jesus rides into majesty in Jerusalem. Churches all over the world will do exactly what we've done today. One such church I told you a little bit about in a sermon several months ago, maybe a year ago. And Dan Bagby told me a little bit more about this church and his pastor because he was familiar with it. I was so intrigued that I did some more reading on this amazing church, so let me fill out the story a little bit. It's called Church Under the Bridge, and it's located in Waco, Texas. Dan was once the pastor of another church in Waco, and he was acquainted with Church Under the Bridge and their pastor, Jimmy Dorrell. See, under the Interstate 35 bridge, which connects Baylor University to the larger Waco community, under that bridge, a group of homeless men and women gather every Sunday morning to worship God. Their pastor, Jimmy, will stand on a couple of milk crates to preach to the homeless and addicted and cast aside. A mentally disabled man will enthusiastically play a piano keyboard that isn't really there. A disheveled woman will wander the crowd tossing out peppermints. And this snaggle-toothed crowd will smile and sing their praises to God. As I said, after Dan told me about this church, I went and read some more about them. I learned that Interstate 35 is now under construction, and it's not safe for this church to meet under the bridge, so they've taken up temporary residence elsewhere. Chip and Joanna Gaines, made famous from that television show Fixer Upper, well, they invited the church to meet on the property of one of their businesses there in Waco. So if you're familiar with Chip and Joanna, they asked the church under the bridge to meet each week at the silos for the next 3 or 4 years until the bridge is repaired. Anyway, this morning, just as the church has done for the last 25 years or so, one of their own, a homeless man, will ride in on a donkey. A crowd of 300 or 400 homeless men and women will gather in just about an hour to receive one of their own as Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. They will lay down their palm branches and celebrate the one who entered Jerusalem that day. And I mean no disrespect to our celebration here at River Road Church, because it's glorious. But that celebration in Waco strikes me as a little closer to the one we read about in Scripture. During that first Palm Sunday celebration, when the crowd shouted out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, glory in the highest heaven." During that celebration, don't you know there was so much hope and excitement in the air? And all those emotions welled up in the people who had gathered to watch Jesus ride in. I think their emotions were so full that they were not content to simply stand there. They had to join in. So that's what they did. They ran to nearby palm trees and they cut down some of the leaves. And they waved the branches shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And then they took off their coats, probably the only coat they had. And they laid it in the dusty and dirty road for the colt carrying Jesus to walk upon. Why would they do that? Well, let's take a step back. Roughly 200 years before, in about 167 BCE, Israel was a tough place to be a Jew. Antiochus Epiphanes was in power, and he was a genocidal tyrant, and that's putting it lightly. He had already banned Jews from practicing their religion, killing anyone who did not obey. But to make matters worse, there in the middle of the Jewish temple, the most sacred space for the Jews, Antiochus Epiphanes set up an altar to Zeus. And then on top of that altar, he sacrificed Judaism's most unclean animal, a pig. The Jewish people could not stand it any longer. A small group of revolutionaries organized and they reclaimed the temple. And that began almost 100 years of sovereignty. It was called the Revolt of the Maccabees. Listen to how one historian tells the tale. The Jews entered Jerusalem with harps and cymbals and stringed instruments, and with hymns and songs, because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. Then he says this, they shouted their praise and waved their palm branches. Sound familiar? Fast forward to the time Jesus rode in on the donkey. Antiochus Epiphanes was long gone, but in his place was another tyrant, Herod. And again, the Jews were oppressed. And I suspect that they believed deep in their souls that God would deliver them again. So when this charismatic preacher named Jesus, when he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, their hearts were filled with hope again. Would they be free once more? Would they be free at last? Would this Jesus, this Messiah, would he come in and kick out the Romans and deliver their freedom? The hosannas just poured out from their hearts and their lips in hopeful anticipation. And my friends, we would have felt the same way. Yes, we live in 2019 and we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus isn't riding into Jerusalem to kick out the Romans, but rather to die on the cross. And what those folks who lined the streets that day couldn't imagine was that the week to come would be the darkest one in all of history. But even though we know the rest of the story, I think it's safe to say that you and I can identify with those people who lined the sides of the road that day. We long for Jesus to deliver us, to deliver our freedom as well. We long for freedom from the pain we feel at losing our loved ones. We long for freedom from that diagnosis that has taken away our health, taken away our lives. We long for freedom from whatever situation it is that just won't give us release. We long to be free from our selfishness, our materialism, our prideful sense of success. We can identify with those first Palm Sunday participants because there is a need deep within all of us, deep within the human heart, to hope for something better, to believe that God is still at work, to believe that this church is still relevant and makes a difference in this world, to stake our lives on a future that's better than the one we can see now. We long to know that the way things are right now is not the way they always have to be. Church, we're not so different from those people who lined the streets that day for Jesus. Like those parade participants, we are holding on to hope. That's what this week is all about. This is the week that Christ gave his life for us. The events of Holy Week, let us make no bones about it. The events are gruesome and absolutely horrific. But amid all the darkness and death, for people of faith, we see a glimmer of light. And that calls us to hold on to hope. My friend Scott is pastor of First Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. He told once the following story. Years ago, one of their pastors, Ben Taylor, and his wife, Dale, were expecting a child. And when their daughter, Mary, was born, it was not precisely as they had dreamed. See, she was born with Down syndrome, which they learned upon her birth. For this family, there was an initial shock, some readjustment, and several extra days in the hospital. But Ben and Dale loved Mary. She belonged to them. They knew that she was a gift from God, complete with all the particular needs that they had not expected. But they loved her, they cherished her, they were excited for her. But still, they wanted to be prepared. So after about a week, while Dale and baby Mary were still in the hospital, they began to plan. Dale sent Ben, one of the pastors, down to the public library just up the street in Macon to check out some books on Down syndrome. They wanted to read and research so that they could be the best parents possible for their little girl. Keep in mind, this was some 30 years ago. No Google or Amazon or online research. So Ben went to the card catalog. You remember those? He pulled out the drawers, made a long list of all the books, and then went to check the shelves. But as he went down his list and searched the stacks, he found all the books on Down syndrome were gone. After multiple tries searching for these books, he found a librarian and asked whether she could tell him who had checked out all the books. Maybe someone doing a school project or writing a report. He thought maybe he or the library could contact all of these people to see when the books would be returned. So the librarian showed him the list of names. And as he scanned each and every name, he saw that every person on that list was a member of his church. People of that church had checked out every single book. So as best they could be prepared for this beautiful little girl. They took seriously the call to be family together. Now, Ben and Dale were still worried about their daughter, her health, about the way forward. But they knew it would be okay because they had hope. They had hope that they were not alone. This week ahead, church, it will not be an easy one. It will be filled with betrayal, violence, and death. Make no mistake, it's a dark and lonely journey. But the good news is that we do not travel alone. For this journey, we have a traveling companion, and her name is Hope. The loving sacrifice of Christ gives us hope. Jesus on the cross gives us hope. Where palms meet passion, we find our hope. Where pain and love come together, we find hope. Hope for today. Hope for tomorrow. And thanks be to God, hope for Easter Sunday. Amen.